أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. ومن آياته خلق السماوات والأرض واختلاف ألسنتكم وألوانكم إن في ذلك لآيات للعالمين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. فالحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم. Quran Weekly, we're on the 21st juz. And I'm sharing with you an ayah from Surah Ar-Rum, the 30th surah actually. And this is the 22nd ayah of that surah. Allah says something very powerful that has many implications for us as Muslims living in a diverse society or wherever we are in the world. Allah says, of His miraculous signs is the creation of the skies and the earth. When Allah calls something His sign, it means it has to be revered and appreciated because it guides back to Him. Anything that guides back to Him should be acknowledged and respected. Like the Qur'an is, all the Qur'an is ayat of Allah. مِنْ آيَاتِهِ هَذِهِ مِنْ آيَاتِهِ كَذَلِكَ. These, what I'm reading to you are His ayat also. So His ayat deserve respect because they lead us back to Him. So the ayat of creation, the skies and the earth, they are revered creations of Allah. We honor the creation of Allah because it takes us closer to Allah. Now Allah says, of those signs, وَاخْتِلَافِ أَلْسِنَتِكُمْ is the differences of your tongues. The different languages, different cultures in the world are part of the diversity on the earth is actually a sign of Allah. It's a proof of Allah, it's a miracle of Allah. That Allah Azza wa Jalla created us from one human being, from one man and one female, you know. خَلَقَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا وَبَثَّ مِنْهُمَا رِجَالًا كَثِيرًا وَنِسَاءً. You know, خَلَقَكُمْ مِنْ نَفْسٍ وَاحِدًا وَخَلَقَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا. He created you from a single person, and then, you know, from him, the spouse, and then created so many of you. And here he says, so many of you became so many different languages. So many different languages. Adam alayhi salam was taught al-asma, the words. That must have been one language, right? So all languages in the world are like the children of the language of Adam alayhi salam. All these different languages that are there are variations, further and further and further variations of the original language taught to Adam alayhi salam. So people that speak a language different than yours are not to be made fun of, they're supposed to be respected. What's coming out of their mouth is actually something tied directly to revelation. So you might think somebody who's speaking, you know, Cantonese, somebody who's speaking Bangla, somebody speaking Punjabi, somebody speaking English, somebody speaking French, they sound weird, they sound funny. As a matter of fact, all of it should be respected. Because it's from the ayat of Allah. Allah says the different languages are His ayat. So English is an ayah of Allah. French is an ayah of Allah. Punjabi is an ayah of Allah. SubhanAllah. These different tongues, these different languages are ayat of Allah, are signs of God. And then He adds, وَاخْتِلَافِ أَلْوَانِكُمْ. You know, He adds, وَأَلْوَانِكُمْ. Your colors. Different color skin is a sign of God. So the fact that there are different ethnicities in the world, from the Muslim perspective, from the Quranic perspective, we're supposed to have respect for different races, just because Allah called races themselves, different colors of skin themselves, a divine sign. A sign of Himself, a reminder of Himself. So when people look at the color of skin and consider someone inferior or superior or a hated race or a loved race, then that itself is a denial of the ayat of Allah. So read all the places in the Qur'an where Allah says, those who disbelieve in our ayat, those who disregard our ayat, those who don't care about our ayat, those who lie against our ayat, those who, you know, don't consider our ayat, then this is the ayat too. A person's skin is an ayat too. And you don't respect a person who's a different skin than you, you are disregarding an ayat of Allah. What a powerful teaching of the Qur'an. What a powerful way to combat racism. So how can you call yourself a Muslim and you have racist tendencies? How can you do that? وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ خَلْقُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافُ أَلْسِنَتِكُمْ وَأَلْوَانِكُمْ إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ. In that there are many, many, many miracles, many signs, many teachings, many paths to guidance for people who actually know. لِلْعَالِمِينَ. So what are we learning? People who are racist and still call themselves Muslims can't possibly be knowledgeable. Because people that have knowledge, they will take the lessons from this. They'll learn from this. May Allah remove racism and prejudice and the disregard for other cultures away from our hearts, because a disregard of that is in fact, these things are in fact disregard of the ayat of Allah. And may Allah make us of those that every one of His ayat bring us closer to Him, and a disregard of them is completely, and it never happens in our hearts. That we never ever ever overlook something that Allah is supposed to, that Allah made, that we can come closer and closer to Him. Barakallahu li wa lakum, wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu ittaqullaha wa qulu qawlan sadida.
Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa salatu wa salam ala sayyidil anbiya'i wal mursaleen wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum, Quran Weekly. Today I'm sharing with you one of my favorite ayat of Surah Al-Ahzab. This is Juz number 22, Surah number 33. And Allah says, those of you who claim to have faith, be cautious of Allah, ittaqullah. This commandment of having taqwa of Allah is typically followed by another commandment. And it's actually as though to say that being cautious of Allah and being aware of the presence of Allah and being careful not to disappoint Allah or disobey Him has manifestations. And one of its manifestations is what I'm about to tell you. So one way you can have taqwa is by doing what Allah is about to tell you in this ayah. And that is, وَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. Rough translation says, and say that which is right. Say the right thing. قُولُوا قَوْلًا is simple language, speak. Speak, and whenever you speak, here's the kind of speech it should be, سَدِيد. سَدِيد comes from the Arabic word sad. إِغْلَاقُ الْخَلَلْ, they say. Something that removes a gap. Sad is also a dam, like you know the dams that block the water from coming. Like in Surah Al-Kahf, you know, بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَهُمْ سَدَّ أو بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَهُمْ سَدَّ. Put a dam between us. Now what a sad does is, there's no gaps in it, so no water can get through, and it prevents water from leaking over, right? So one of the implications of sadid is that you have to speak in a way that doesn't leave room for misinterpretation. You have to mean what you say, and you have to be clear about what you have to say to people. You can't say what you don't mean just to be formal. You know, sometimes because there's formalities, people say things like, you're resigning from the company, you write an email and you're like, you know, I really appreciated my time here and I thank the management for this and that and the other. You're writing this whole thing. But in your heart you're like, I hate these people. I can't believe I'm leaving this company. These people are so disgusting, etc., etc. There's like this completely opposite thoughts in your mind and what you're putting down in writing. This is not clear speech and this is not open speech. You don't have to be disrespectful in your speech, but you have to be honest to yourself. Now, one of the most powerful manifestations of this that I want to talk to you guys today about is one of the things Allah commands us to say just because we're Muslim. And that is, Assalamu alaikum. When I say Assalamu alaikum to you, and when you say Wa alaikum assalam to me, and vice versa, then actually we've made an open declaration to each other that there is no beef between us, there's no quarrel, there's no fight, I have nothing held against you, I have no grudges with you, I have no more problems, I may have had problems in the past, now that I have said peace upon you, I'm wishing that Allah's peace is on you, that I am at peace with you, I'm hoping your life is surrounded by peace, and there is no, you know, disturbances in your life, nothing that takes your peace away. That is Assalamu alaikum. That's a declaration of peace, really, towards the other. And it's also a declaration that I have no more issues with you. Now imagine you just had a fight with your wife, and you're about to go into the office. Before you slam the door, you're like, Assalamu alaikum. She says, Waalaikum salam. Slam the door. That's not qawl sadid. You didn't say what you meant. You didn't mean peace. You just said it because you kind of have to say it. When the Prophet commands us, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you shouldn't talk to, three days shouldn't go by and you haven't said salam to your brother, that doesn't mean you like 2.5 days later call the guy and like, hey, assalamu alaikum, wa alaikum salam, hang up, that's over. That's not what the point is. The point is when you say salam and you say what you mean, because the ayah says when you speak what you mean, it's over, it's done, let's move on. So salam itself, if we understood what assalamu alaikum meant, and if that became qawl sadid for us, then our relationships would be totally different. Allah wouldn't let us hold grudges. Like the sunnah of assalamu alaikum keeps us from holding grudges, subhanAllah. And then finally, the meaning of sadid also is as-sawab min al-qawl, correct speech. Not only say what you mean, say the right thing. Say the right thing. If you don't have the right thing to say, don't say it. Just remain quiet. So have taqwa of Allah and only open your mouth when you have something correct to say. And don't say inappropriate things, don't say offensive things. And say things that cannot be, you know, that sometimes people talk like they, in language that has dual meanings. Right? Don't do that. Don't say things that mean offensive, something offensive and it can mean something good too. You know? And you could do that with salam, with your tone. Assalamu alaikum. Like, okay, what was that?
Yeah, Waqasam, whatever. What is that? That means you are disregarding someone with a statement that's supposed to honor them. Say it the way it's supposed to be said. Say it the way it's not misinterpreted. And language isn't just about the words you use, it's the body language, it's the tone you take. All of that has to line up so that the other understands you very, very, very clearly. And they don't read in between the lines, did you mean something else? Were you speaking in code? You know? We have to learn this. Because when you're upset with someone, and they say, hey, what's wrong? And you say, oh, nothing. Oh, nothing. Yes, there is something wrong. And you need to find a respectful way, not to vent, but to let others know when something's wrong. This is part of Qawl Sadeed also. May Allah give us the ability to be clear in our speech with each other, and may Allah really give us the ability to turn our salams into Qawl Sadeed, into real clear and meaningful speech that gets rid of all of our grudges that we have against each other. And may Allah give us the strength to forgive one another and build on our relationships, even though we make mistakes towards each other along the way. Barakallahu li wa lakum, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وهل أتاك نبأ الخصم إذ تسوروا المحراب إذ دخلوا على داود ففزع منهم قالوا لا تخف خصمان بغى بعضنا على بعض فاحكم بيننا بالحق ولا تشتط واهدنا إلى سواء الصراط إن هذا أخي له 99 نعجة ولي نعجة واحدة فقال أكفلنيها وعزني في الخطاب
رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum, Quran Weekly. Today, inshallah, in the 23rd Juz and Surah Sa'd, the 38th Surah of the Quran, we're going to take a few lessons from the story of Dawood alayhi salam. And part of this conversation is that we in Islam have a great deal of respect and honor for the prophets. And even though we have the same names for prophets that the Christians and Jews have in their traditions, of the various traditions that they have, the way we think about prophets is not how they think about prophets. The way we respect prophets and the way we honor them is not the way they respect and honor them. The same story that's mentioned in Quran about Dawood alayhi salam being in his mihrab, in his praying quarters, and of course he was a king, and a khalifa actually, not a king. They call him King David, we call him Khalifa Dawood, because Allah calls him, Ya Dawood, inna ja'alnaka khalifatan fil ard. Someone who's left behind on the earth to take responsibility of executing Allah's commands. Anyhow, so people scaled the walls of the fort and came into his praying quarters. So they came into the most private quarters of the castle, a bunch of people. So he's obviously shocked. And, you know, so فَفَزِعَ مِنْهُمْ, the ayah says, if دَخَلُوا عَلَى دَوُودِ فَفَزِعَ مِنْهُمْ. They started, he was kind of terrified of them and he was taken back them. Faza is actually shock, fear that stems from shock. So he's taken back and shocked and he doesn't really know what's going on. They say, قَالُوا لَا تَخَفْ. They said, no, don't be afraid. خَصْمَانِ بَغَى بَعْضُنَا عَلَى بَعْضٍ. We're just two groups of people. Some have wronged the other. Like we're in a big argument right now. So you need to help us out and kind of clarify the situation. So it's not two people that scale the wall, because تَسَوَّرُوا is used, the Arabic word تَسَوَّرُوا. The u at the end is plural. فَفَزِعَ مِنْهُمْ, he got afraid of all of them, not مِنْهُمَا. مِنْهُمَا would have been he's afraid of two of them. So a bunch of people just come into his quarters, and Dawood alayhi salam can handle himself. Obviously, he's the one that killed Jalut, so he can handle himself. But a whole bunch of people just, you know, rushed into his house after scaling a wall. He's kind of not, you know, taken back by it. He's not really in the right state of mind. And they said, no, don't be afraid. We're here to discuss an issue with you. Some of us have wronged the others. You know, this is my brother, he's got 99 sheep, and I only have one sheep. And he wants, you know, so he says, أَكْفِلِينِهَا. Just give it to me, man. Just give me that one sheep. What are you going to do with one sheep? أَكْفِلْنِيهَا. وَعَزَّنِي فِي الْخِطَابِ. And he's very, like, bullish when he talks to me. He's like, come on, just give it up already. I've been telling you to give me this sheep. So the guy who's obviously got one sheep is the guy speaking right now. And, you know, Dawood alayhi salam listens to this case and says, this is his verdict. He says, إِنَّ هَذَا actually قَالَ لَقَدْ ظَلَمَكَ بِسُؤَالِ نَعْجَتِكَ إِلَى نِعَاجِهِ. You know, you've wronged this guy by asking for his one sheep to add to your sheep. you wronged him. وَإِنَّ كَثِيرًا مِنَ الْخُلَطَاءِ لَا يَبْغِي بَعْضُهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَقَلِيلٌ مَا هُمْ. And you know, a lot of times business partners end up wronging each other. How true a statement, right? How a lot of times business partners end up, you know, messing each other up or taking advantage of one another. Except those who truly believe and do righteous deeds. وَقَلِيلُ مَا هُمْ. And how few those are. Now, then they disappeared. Immediately those angels, he passed the verdict and they disappeared. وَظَنَّ دَاوُدُ أَنَّمَا فَتَنَّهُ. And Dawood realized we were testing him. So فَاسْتَغْفَرَ رَبَّهُ وَخَرَّ رَاكِعًا وَأَنَابَ. So he made istighfar to his master and he fell into sajda and he repented. So this is, by the way, an ayah of sajda. So once you're done watching this video, go make sajda, okay? Because I gotta make one too. But anyway, let's finish talking about it first. The Bani Israel position, the Israeli position, the biblical narrative of the same story is that ma'adallah, thumma ma'adallah. This is not something we say about prophets. That Dawud alayhi salam was interested in the wife of one of his generals. And he actually sent that general off to battle so he could fight and be killed and then he could marry, because Dawud had already 99 wives, he wanted one more. So Allah taught him a lesson of not wanting that 100th wife by bringing these people in with their sheep problem and all of that. And that's why he made repentance. Our narrative in the Qur'an is very clear. First of all, we don't accept that narrative because it accuses prophets of something we don't even expect from bad Muslims. How can we accuse a prophet of that? But second, more importantly than that, the ayat themselves have the answer to what really happened. A bunch of people came into his court. He was shocked. Obviously, a judge, when he's about to judge a case, cannot be in an emotionally traumatized state. That's the first problem. فَفَزِعَ مِنْهُمْ. He was shocked by them. He was taken aback by them. He wasn't in his right state of mind because of them. Then they started doing his case. And the guy said, this is one sheep, and this, you know, he wants my sheep. But a judge, in his right mind, if he's in his right mind, is supposed to say, hold on, what's your evidence? Number one, you've made your case, but what's your evidence? And let me hear the other side, even if you're calling him guilty. You calling him guilty doesn't make him guilty. Let me hear what he has to say. But in the story, Dawud alayhi salam rushed to judgment because he was taken by surprise. He rushed to judgment and he passed the judgment immediately on one and said, you've wronged your brother by asking him for that one sheep. And immediately they disappeared and he realized, I should not have rushed to judgment. I should have calmed down first, understood the situation fully, asked both sides their opinion, then I should have passed my verdict. The lesson I'm learning here is don't rush to judgment. That's what he made repentance for. And so then Allah says, يَا دَاوُدِ إِنَّا جَعَلْنَكَ خَلِيفَةً فِي الْأَرْضِ فَحْكُمْ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ بِالْحَقِّ. Here's the lesson learned. Dawood, we have made you a khalifa in the land, then judge between people with justice. If this was about him being a criminal, the ayah would have been, we have sent you a khalifa on the earth, then be fair yourself. If this was about him and wanting 100th wife, then the verdict at the end of it, the lesson to be taught to Dawood would have been, you should be fair yourself, okay? Have you learned your lesson? Instead Allah says, I have sent you a khalifa on this earth. Someone who will, you know, leave a legacy behind. And someone who's been left behind to take care of business. So judge between people with justice. وَلَا تَتَّبِعِ الْهَوَىٰ فَيُضِلَّكَ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. And don't follow your whim. Don't follow your gut. Judges can't just say, I have a gut feeling, I'm going to go with this. I find this compelling. Because then it'll take you away, it'll misguide you from the path of Allah. This is the lesson taught to Dawud alayhi salam. It's actually a very beautiful lesson in the justice system. The judge cannot have emotional biases, he cannot be under pressure. You know how in corrupt countries, you have judges that are threatened before they go into the court? Their families are held hostage before they go into the court? They're bribed before they go into the court? They have something emotionally bothering them before they go into court? Also, you have cases like divorce law, where the judge himself just went through a divorce, right? And he's like burnt about it, and then a man and a woman are standing in front of him. Who's he going to favor? He's going to see this guy, this woman getting divorced. He's going to remember his wife and let it out on her. She gets nothing, you know? Or if it's a woman, the other way around. So the judge has to be emotionally neutral. And if not, he's not going to be able to do his job. That is the lesson we're learning in this beautiful, beautiful surah and this beautiful story about the highest standards of justice that Allah has set and how people that are put in a position to make judgments between people should not be people of emotional biases and should not be under stress or distracted at the time that they're passing judgments. This is the verdict we take. And in your family, not just in court. This is not just for people that are judges in courts. But in your family, when you have to, you know, settle disputes or work things out between friends and things like that, you better be the neutral party before you, you know, pass any judgment or say anything. And hear both sides out equally, even if you don't like one guy and you like the other guy. You know, you better be fair. This is the lesson we take from these remarkable ayat. Barakallahu li wa lakum fil Qur'an al-Hakim wa nafa'ni wa iyyakum bil ayati wa dhikr al-Hakim. I got a sajda to make.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ رَبِّ اشْرَحْ لِي صَدْرِي وَيَسِّرْ لِي أَمْرِي وَاحْلُلْ عُقْدَةً مِّن لِّسَانِي يَفْقَهُوا قَوْلِي فَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ وَالصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَىٰ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ وَعَلَىٰ آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ السَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ قُرْآن ويكلي. Now we're on the 24th juz, and I'm sharing with you an ayah from Surah Az-Zumar, the 39th surah, and this is the 53rd ayah of the surah. In this ayah, the first thing to note is the word qul. Allah says say, which means He's commanding the Prophet to convey a message. And this is important because this is supposed to be a message of hope. And the first thing we're learning is the people who will deliver the message of Islam, part of their job is to make sure that they themselves personally deliver hope. That's captured inside قُلْ. Allah could have spoken to the people directly, يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَصْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. My slaves who've wronged among them, who've done violations against themselves. He didn't say that. He said, say, my slaves who've wronged themselves, or who have done wrong to themselves, or crossed the limits against themselves. But I'll get to that part later. The first thing to note is قُلْ. The Prophet is supposed to go and deliver hope. The Prophet is supposed to put his hand on someone's shoulder, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and tell them it's okay. Here's what Allah has to say to you. I have something that Allah said to you directly that I want to share with you. Then ya ibadi, my slaves, my slaves. Ibad is actually different from abid. Abid is used for all the slaves in the Quran specifically. Abid is used for slaves that don't obey Allah. This is abid. Wama Allahu yuridu dhulman lil abid. Allah doesn't intend wrong for the abid. They do wrong themselves. But ibad is used for good slaves. And in this ayah, it's actually about sinners. But Allah is saying, you can still be my slaves. You can make tawbah. Alladhina asrafu ala anfusihim. Those who went overboard against themselves, who overdid it, who crossed the line, who got close to the haram and then went into the haram. And you did that wrong against yourself, and you feel really, really bad that you did. You're still my slaves. Don't cut yourself off from me. You commit a sin, and you're afraid to look back. There's a mountain of sin behind you, so when you want to turn back to Allah, instead of seeing Allah, or instead of meeting with Allah, you just meet with the sin in your past. Allah says, I know you've done something wrong against yourselves. And I know that sin is huge. And that sin is so depressing that you don't even want to think about coming back to Allah anymore. You're like, who am I to come back to Allah? My sin is too huge. Allah says, "La ala anfusihim la taqnatu min rahmatillah." Don't cut yourself off and don't lose hope. Don't be depressed from the mercy and love and care of Allah. Don't think that Allah is telling you, don't think that His love and His care and His concern is so small that your sin is bigger than it. It's bigger than that. There's never going to be a time in your life where you can still inhale and exhale, and Allah's mercies, the doors to Allah's mercy are closed. No matter what you've done. No matter what you've done. If Allah can open the door to those who will be in the lowest pit of hellfire, إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ فِي الدَّرْكِ الْأَسْفَلِ مِنَ النَّارِ. Hypocrites are going to be in the lowest, lowest, lowest pit of the hellfire. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ تَابُوا. Except those who repent. Even they can repent. The guy was headed not just to hell, to the lowest part of hell, and Allah says he can repent. And here He's not even talking like, يَا أَيُّهَا الْمُنَافِقُونَ الَّذِينَ أَصْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. He didn't say, oh hypocrites who've wronged themselves. No, you're still my servants. You're not even headed for the lowest pit of hellfire. Why should you lose hope in Allah? Even the hypocrite can have hope in Allah. He can come back out of his hypocrisy. So you should never, ever think that you are beyond hope with Allah. And don't confuse what people think of you with what Allah thinks of you.
People might think you're an evil person, you're bad, they've written you off. Allah never writes you off. Allah is the only one who never writes you off. You know? There will be people that are messed up. I mean, they do all kinds of messed up stuff. But they have some little connection with Allah left. One prayer every Friday. That's all they got left. Maybe you're one of those guys. All they got left is Eid prayer. That's it. That's the only connection to God they have left. The only thing this person has left is like fasting in Ramadan. Not even every day. Every once in a while. That's all he's got left. At least you left that one door open. At least you left that door open. But don't you think that that door is enough? Now that you left that door open, turn back and face Allah. Turn back to Him and accept that you've made mistakes. He's your master. And your master is telling you He loves you. That He wants you back. That He wants you to turn back to Him. That He wants you to rethink your life. If you give Allah a chance, Allah Azza wa Jal is waiting. And the offer He's making to you, for you, you know, because you've done so much wrong. I mean, it's a lot of wrong. Allah says, what will He do if you can turn back to Him? إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. No doubt about it, Allah is going to, He in fact will cover the mistakes, will forgive, will overlook the mistakes, all of them. Don't say, but what about that one? All of them. No, what about this one? All of them. It's done. You just turn back to Allah. You make tawbah to Allah. You decide you're starting new again. You can do that, and Allah Azza wa Jalla will accept your tawbah. I pray sincerely that this is the month. We're closing out the month. We've got a few days left. This is the time to ask Allah to forgive. And ask Allah, Ya Allah, let me get a fresh start. I know I've wronged myself. I know I've done plenty and plenty and plenty of wrong. Sit there and just talk to Allah at night. Just talk to Allah. Tell Allah what you've been doing. Admit to Allah. Confess to Allah what you've been doing. I don't care if you do it in English or Urdu or Bangla. It doesn't matter. Then you have to do it in Arabic. I don't care if you don't know a single dua. I don't care if you don't know any Arabic. Just talk to Allah. Tell Allah what you've been doing. Cry about it to Allah. Those tears are going to bring you closer to Allah than you've ever been before. But they have to be real. And they have to be just you and Allah and nobody else. That conversation has to start. And then Allah's offer is, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. He's the one that is incredibly merciful, incredibly forgiving. He's the one that always envelops you in care, envelops you in love, who shows you mercy, who shows you kindness. I pray that this is the month. This is the week even. I forget month. Month is gone. This is the week. That is your week. This is the week you start new. This is the week where all your previous sins are gone and you start as a slave of Allah that has come close to Him and He's taken Allah up on the offer that He gave Him in this blessed, beautiful, beautiful month. I pray that Allah Azza wa Jalla gives you that strength, and I pray all the best for you in your life, in the life of your family, and in the life of all of those that are around you, that you become a source of blessing for them and a source of them getting closer to Allah through you getting closer to Allah. بارك الله لي ولكم السلام عليكم قرآن بك أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم فما أوتيتم من شيء فمتاع الحياة الدنيا وما عند الله خير وأبقى للذين آمنوا وعلى ربهم يتوكلون والذين يجتنبون كبائر الإثم والفواحش وإذا ما غضبوا هم يغفرون رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي فالحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين السلام عليكم قرآن ويكلي. This is now the 25th juz. Alhamdulillah, we are in Surah Ash-Shura, Surah number 42. And I'm sharing with you ayah number, some things about ayah number 32, or 36 rather. Now, Allah says, whatever you've been given is utilities of worldly life, temporary things to enjoy and use. فَمَتَعُوا الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ خَيْرٌ وَأَبْقَى. And whatever Allah has is better and last longer. وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. And these are the people that put their trust in Allah. They constantly trust what Allah has is better and last longer. You have a ride, Allah has a better ride and it'll last longer. You have a house, Allah has a better house and it'll last longer. You have a spouse, Allah has a better spouse and the relationship will last longer. You have children. Allah will give you better children. In other words, they will come back to you in Jannah. They'll be better and they'll last longer. They're not going to lose. Like, I feel that. That's one of my favorite parts of this ayah. Because I want my children back. Because I tell my oldest daughter, I miss you. She's like, why do you miss me? Abba, I'm here. I miss you when you were one. I miss that age. You had these little goopy-doopy cheeks. Where'd they go? You got skinny and tall. And now you talk back too. You know? You missed, you looked, you, I see the pictures of my children from the earlier years and I'm like, wow. They were mine? They were so cute. They were so adorable. Because what Allah will give you in Jannah will be there forever. You'll get to enjoy it forever. It won't change. Change is painful. You know, we look back, I mean, I look back and like, you know, where did the last 10 years go? I don't even know. SubhanAllah. So quickly life passes us by. Whatever Allah will give us, it'll be better. It's going to last longer. وَعَلَى رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ And they completely trust that Allah, what Allah will give them in the Akhirah, is better. Even if you have a good life here. Even if you have a good life. Not just if you have a bad life. Even if you have a good life, what Allah will give you is better and lasts longer. That is the faith with which you have to live. Now, Allah describes these people that have trust in Allah, and the first two things that they are able to accomplish in life, that's the only thing I want to highlight before you guys. الَّذِينَ يَجْتَنِبُونَ كَبَائِرَ الْإِثْمِ وَالْفَوَاحِشِ These are people that are able to avoid major sins. And they're able to avoid shamelessness, all forms of shamelessness. So Allah mentions major sins and shamelessness. You know, there are small sins and there are big sins. There are sins like, you know, rushing through the prayer, not doing the best wudu. There are sins like not lowering your eyes fast enough. There are sins like maybe making fun of someone, not realizing you crossed the line. That's a sin. It's not good. You know, there are sins like reciting the Quran, but not reciting it properly. Small things. There are sins that you can not even realize you're doing. But then, there are major sins. The consumption of haram, like you're drinking a beer. You know, the zina of the eyes. It's pretty major. Actual zina. Killing somebody. Consuming riba. Earning riba. You know, endorsing it. Saying something that Allah has made haram, that it's no big deal, it's okay, it's halal, Allah will understand. Things like that. These are major sins. Allah says, you want to be people of the afterlife? Number one thing you give me is don't do major sins. كَبَائِرَ الْإِثْمِ Stay away from the big stuff. You can refine yourself and work on the smaller things over time and become better and better and better as a Muslim. But the first order of priority is the major, major sins. If you're dating a girl, you're in major sin. If you're dating a guy, you're in major sin. You need to stop before you worry about anything else in Islam. If you're addicted to pornography, you're in a deep. This is a deep problem. It's a deep, deep spiritual problem. You need to get away from it because the zina of the eyes will lead to other kinds of zina. You need to stop. That is the first thing you have to address. If you're addicted to alcohol, if you're taking drugs, if you're smoking weed, if you're doing pot, or worse, you know, if you're doing this stuff, you need to stop. If you're stealing money from your parents, if you're stealing money from your job, you need to stop. If you're investing in what you know are haram industries, and you're making money in a way that you know is not, you know, permissible by our deen, you know. And if you're like, oh, I'm in an innocent business, I'm in real estate. Okay, that's innocent enough, but I rent out my warehouse to a club. Okay, you're not clubbing. You're just renting it out to them. You are perpetuating evil. You may not be the fasid, you may not be the corrupt one, but you are the cause of corruption. Without you renting it out, it wouldn't exist. So you're complicit. You're complicit in that. Stop doing the major stuff first. And then the second line of defense, personally, wal-fawahish, all forms of shamelessness, you need to stop. And I particularly highlighted shamelessness. As I was talking to you, dating, pornography, this sort of thing. Why? Because Allah took major sins and immediately after highlighted in particular, shamelessness and all forms of it. Any act of it, any manifestation of it, anything that takes you close to it, avoid it altogether. وَإِذَا مَغَضِبُهُمْ يَغْفِرُونَ And when they get angry, then they are able to forgive. These are the things that we need to prioritize. And these are the goals you need to set for yourself. How will you surround yourself with people that will help you avoid major sins? that will give you fresh company, good company, that keeps you on the right track, and when you're slipping, they're able to stop you and pull you right back in. I pray all the best for you, and I pray that inshallah your life becomes better and better and better as a Muslim, and that you and I are able to stand in front of Allah successful on Judgment Day, and be able to congratulate each other because we helped each other make it. Barakallahu li wa lakum, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. إِنَّا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ شَاهِدًا وَمُبَشِّرًا وَنَذِيرًا لِتُؤْمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَتُعَزِّرُوهُ وَتُوَقِّرُوهُ وَتُسَبِّحُوهُ بُكْرَةً وَأَصِيلًا رَبِّ اشْرَحْ لِي صَدْرِي وَيَسِّرْ لِي أَمْرِي وَاحْلُلْ عُقْدَةً مِّن لِّسَانِي يَفْقَهُوا قَوْلِي فالحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ثم ما بعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته القرآن weekly we are now on the 26th juz. This is exciting, we're getting close to the end, alhamdulillah. And the ayah I've chosen for today belongs to Surah Al-Fath. Surah Al-Fath is the 48th surah of the Qur'an. These are the 8th, and this is the 8th and the 9th ayah actually of the surah. And this is something all of you should know is Surah Muhammad, Surah 47, Surah Al-Fath, Surah 48, and then Surah Al-Hujurat, Surah 49. All three of these together are a pretty comprehensive course in the Qur'an on what does it mean to believe in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and what does it mean to respect him and to love him. It's a course on our relationship with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in one place, and that is 47, 48, and 49. So this ayah is from 48, and it actually has to do with our messengers, our relationship with the messenger. To properly understand these two ayat, you have to understand the concept of iltifat. Iltifat is actually transition. So imagine that I have, you know, as I actually do in my class at the Dream Program, I have brothers on one side and sisters on the other side, right? So I could say, you do this and you do that. Like I'm pointing at two entities at the same time. Or imagine that I'm in a class and there's like everybody's in the class and I have a TA. Right, so I'm saying, okay, you guys get started, and you keep an eye on them. Right, so I'm addressing two entities at the same time, and one's a single you, my TA, my teacher's assistant, is a single you, and everybody else is a plural you. So you have to understand that in these two ayat, the first ayat, Allah addressed the Prophet ﷺ with a you. And in the second ayat, addressed all of us with a you. It's as though Allah is looking from above, and He's telling the Prophet, you do this, and you do this. Okay, but it's still one conversation. Allah is the speaker speaking to both the Prophet ﷺ and then us in one flow. So he says, إِنَّا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ شَاهِدًا وَمُبَشِّرًا وَنَذِيرًا. No doubt about it, we have sent you as a witness. He's telling the Prophet ﷺ, we have sent you as a witness. That's the scary part, because if he's a witness, he will testify. And he will testify to everyone who was there. The Sahaba are terrified by that. So Allah fills them with hope again. وَمُبَشِّرًا, and we have sent you as a giver of good news. Now they're encouraged. وَنَذِيرًا, and we've sent you as a warner. So the Rasulullah ﷺ is given three titles. We've sent you as a witness, we've sent you as a giver of good news, and we've sent you as a warner. Now he turns to the Muslims. Now to this day it includes us. لِتُؤْمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. I've sent you, Muhammad ﷺ, as a witness, as a warner, as a giver of good news, as a warner, so all of you, could believe in Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's like Allah is telling us to respect Him. First, He talked to him. Then He said, "You see what I just did to him? You see, I just sent him as a messenger to you, so you could believe in Allah and His Messenger." وَتُعَزِّرُوهُ. Oh, what a beautiful word! What a beautiful word! So you honor him and you help him out of an overwhelming sense of respect for him. You ever see? We don't really see this much anymore. But if a student runs over to get like the teacher's bag, "Let me carry that for you, sir." And he picks it up. Or you know, an old man comes into the masjid and he's about to take his shoes off. "Let us put those up for you on the rack. Let us get that for you." Or your dad's about to, you know, pack the car with luggage. Dad, you don't carry that, I'll carry it for you. Like this overwhelming sense of respect, and you help someone not because they need help, but because you couldn't tolerate them having to do something when you're there. Out of respect for them, that's ta'zir. Allah says, you better have that emotion towards my messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This overwhelming sense of respect, driving you to help him. But how can we help him? He's gone, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's not in our company anymore.
So how are we supposed to help him? Allah will teach us. The dua that the Prophet ﷺ used to make, that he taught us to make. Allahumma ansur man nasara deena Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Allah, help whoever helps the deen of Muhammad. In the Surah As-Saff, Allah has taught us, man ansari ila Allah, who will help me towards Allah? Isa said. Nahnu ansarullah, the Hawariyun said. You know, we, by helping Allah's, the Messenger's deen, are actually honoring him. Now imagine every time you do something for Allah's deen, you don't just remember your intention is to please Allah Azza wa Jal, you also, part of a legitimate intention is out of an overwhelming sense of respect and grandeur of his Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that you rush to do what you're supposed to do for this deen. لِتُعَزِّرُهُ. Then he adds وَتُوَقِّرُهُ. You know, wiqr means a burden, a burden. تُوَقِّرُهُ means you understand that he is a grand personality, that when he is spoken of sallallahu alayhi wasallam, there is a grandeur, there's a seriousness, there's a weight, it's a weighty matter. It's not someone light that's being talked about. It's not someone casual that's being addressed. That your face, your emotions, your attitudes, all of them just immediately change when you hear his name, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَتُوَقِّرُوهُ. You better do that. Now still Allah is talking to Muslims. So we sent you, O Muhammad, with this, to be a witness, to be a to give good news, to be a warner, so that you Muslims better honor him. You better honor him and help him out of that motive to honor him. And you better make a big deal out of his name, out of his mention. You better make a big deal out of just respecting him and being serious when his name is mentioned, that it should not be a light matter to you. وَتُسَبِّحُوهُ بُكْرَةً وَأَصِيلًا. And you should declare Allah's perfection night and day. Subhanallah. Allah said, you better believe in Allah and His Messenger. And then, that's how the ayah began. I sent him so you can believe in Allah and believe in His Messenger. Then the ayah switched. Because the first thing mentioned in the ayah was Allah, the second was Messenger. Then the ayah switched and started talking about the Messenger. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. تُعَزِّرُوهُ وَتُوَقِّرُوهُ. Then the ayah came back to Allah again, and ends with Allah again. وَتُسَبِّحُوهُ بُكْرَةً وَأَصِيلًا. So you declare Allah's perfection night and day. Night and day. Now what does that mean at the end? This waw could be waw bayaniyah. It is by showing respect and regard and, you know, seriousness to the relationship you have with Rasulullah ﷺ, and to keep him in the honor and the status that he deserves. That is actually one form of understanding what does it mean to do tasbih of Allah, to declare Allah's perfection. Part of the tasbih of Allah, you can only get there if you show respect to His Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. If you don't have respect for His Messenger, you will not be able to have respect for Allah. You're not going to be able to declare Allah's perfection. You're not going to know what that means. Subhanallah, and I know this to be true for a fact. The more interactions I've had with people of other faiths, their relationship with Allah is so weird. It's so weird. They say things about Allah you couldn't imagine as a Muslim. You're like just disturbed when you hear it. How can you talk about Allah like that? How can you talk about God like that? Then you realize the relationship they have with their prophets. Oh, that's where it comes from. You're not able to have tasbih of Allah because you don't have ta'zir and tawqir for your messengers. You don't have that honor and that gravitas for your messengers, and that is not letting you have the proper relationship with Allah. That is what we're learning in this ayah. May Allah make us those who honor our Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, and have the utmost respect and this burning desire to help his cause and to make that cause our own out of that sense of loyalty to him. Barakallahu li wa lakum wa sallallahu ala rasulihi sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. ألم يأن للذين آمنوا أن تخشع قلوبهم لذكر الله وما نزل من الحق ولا يكونوا كالذين أوتوا الكتاب من قبل فطال عليهم الأمد فقست قلوبهم وكثير منهم فاسقون اعلموا أن الله يحيي الأرض بعد موتها قد بينا لكم الآيات لعلكم تعقلون
رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي فالحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ثم ما بعد السلام عليكم Quran Weekly. We are on the 27th juz and we are in Surah Al-Hadid, Surah number 57. I recited two ayat to you, ayat number 15, or rather 16 and 17, sorry. And in these ayat, they're very powerful. I mean, these Madani surahs that are at the end of the 27th juz and they go on into the 28th juz are all supposed to take a nation of Muslims that are weak in faith and they're supposed to shake them up and they're supposed to revitalize their faith. And Allah just has this way of speaking to us that if you read these ayat while you're conscious of the fact that it's Allah talking to you, they're just really life-changing ayat. أَلَمْ يَأْنِي لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Hasn't time yet come for those who've believed? Is it now the time for those who believe? أَن تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. That their hearts should be overwhelmed with awe by remembering Allah, because of the remembrance of Allah. That their hearts should be filled with awe because they want to remember Allah also, in order to remember Allah. وَمَا نَزَلَ. How do they want to remember Allah? وَمَا نَزَلَ مِنَ الْحَقِّ. And their hearts should be filled with awe because of what came down from the truth. That they're just listening to the Qur'an should just overwhelm them. That they should just feel this awe. We've been listening to Taraweeh. Those of you that have been going to Taraweeh or listening to Qur'an, Allah is asking the question, isn't it time that you felt something? Isn't it time you felt overwhelmed? That Allah is talking to you through these words? وَلَا يَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِ. And they better not become like those who the book was given to way before them. فَطَالَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَمَدِ. Then a long period, in parentheses, a long period of deterioration passed over them. فَقَسَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. Their hearts became hard. Then you could read the book over them, it wouldn't make a difference. It wouldn't affect them. They weren't emotionally connected to their book. We're learning in this ayah, we're supposed to have an emotional, not just an intellectual relationship with the Qur'an. We're supposed to have a relationship that moves us to tears. We're supposed to constantly be like, Allah is talking to me when you're listening to Qur'an. That's the drive I want to have with Qur'an. That is this month's opportunity to make this the month of Qur'an. That's what we're leaving behind. The opportunity to really turn this ourselves into people that have a relationship with Allah, and the rope that connects Allah and us together is this book. And every time we experience this book, we feel this closeness to Allah that just moves us to tears. Their heart should be overwhelmed with the fear of Allah, with the awe of Allah, the grandeur of Allah. Their muscles should become numb. That's part of the meaning of khushu', of muscles to become numb. You know, you just feel the sense of being overwhelmed. وَكَثِيرٌ مِّنْهُمْ فَاسِقُونَ. And so many, most of them are corrupt. So many of those are corrupt. In other words, there are people who will have a relationship with the book, but it won't be emotional at all. It'll just be ritualistic. And that is a tragedy. That is a spiritual tragedy when our relationship with the Qur'an is nothing more than ritualistic. You know? And this is the complaint of this ayah. And you know, when the hearts become hard, it's like the hearts are dead, right? So the next ayah I shared with you, that I want to share with you, oh, subhanAllah. اِعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ يُحْيِي الْأَرْضَ بَعْدَ مَوْتِهَا. Look at the placement of this ayah. You had better know, Allah gives life to the earth after it had died. What does this ayah have to do with the last ayah? The last ayah, hearts became hard. They were dead. And Allah says, I know how to bring the earth back to life. You don't think I can bring your heart back to life? قَدْ بَيَّنَ الْآيَاتِ لِقَوْمِ يَعْقِلُونَ. You know, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ. We're clarifying the signs to you so you can apply your intellect. Think a little. Think a little. Think what Allah is saying when He says we can bring the hearts back to life. The plants back to life. The dead earth, there's a season that comes and it comes back to life. Why am I bringing this up? You know, there's a particular season when the earth is green. The earth comes back to life. It's dead for a while and then the season comes, spring comes, and it's just rabia. It's the spring, everything rises. And everything's, you know, like lively and beautiful and colorful. Ramadan is the spring of our hearts. Ramadan is when our hearts come alive. Because we are connected to the Qur'an in Ramadan. That's what it's supposed to be. And this spring doesn't have to turn into a fall. That's up to you. Allah concentrated these 30 days
so you can avoid other appetites and focus on your spiritual appetite. But from here on out, if you and I can carry this relationship, if we can keep reading a little Qur'an every day, with reflection, with serious pondering, if we can just take in a little bit of reminder every day, a little bit more I understand about this book every day, a little bit closer and closer to Allah I get every day, then I won't have to be like those who a long period passed over and they were completely desensitized to their book. This is a very personal appeal to myself and to all of you, that we don't get lazy with Qur'an. That we don't allow Qur'an to become a passive relationship. That it remains an active relationship. That every salat comes to life. And we, outside of salat, we try to understand the language of it, we understand the meaning of it as best we can. And Allah will open those doors for you, I promise you. Allah will open the doors of understanding, and the doors of remembering the meanings, and the doors of like being conscious of what's being recited in the prayer. All of that will start coming into place. You just have to have the right intention. Allah says, isn't it time yet? As though He's waiting. أَلَمْ يَأْنِي? Isn't it now? Isn't it yet time? So this is the time. We respond to Allah, بَلَى. It is time. It is time that we turn back to You. It is time that our hearts softened. May Allah Azza wa Jalla give all of us soft hearts that tremble and that are overwhelmed by His remembrance and by His Qur'an. And may Allah Azza wa Jalla make this Qur'an a case and a hujjah in our favor on Judgment Day and not a case against us. Barakallahu li wa lakum. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Ma asaba min musibatin illa bi'idhnillah. Waman yu'min billahi yahdi qalbah. Wallahu bikulli shay'in alim. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa hlul 'uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli. Falhamdulillahi wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum. Quran Weekly. We are now on the 28th juz, and very difficult juz to pick an ayah from, but I've picked an ayah from Surah At-Taghabun. An ayah that I still remember when my teacher, Dr. Abdul Sami, taught, I sat there crying. The 11th ayah of Surah At-Taghabun, Surah number 64, that is. When Allah says, مَا أَصَابَ مِن مُصِيبَةٍ, no calamity of any sort ever strikes you. Musiba is calamity. But asaba in Arabic also means to target. Allah is teaching us by use of this word that nothing ever happens to you that wasn't actually meant for you. It was specifically targeted to you, and that difficulty hit its target. And a musibah isn't necessarily a bad thing. It's something that Allah wanted to have happen to you. And Allah lets you know, illa bi'idhnillah. Get it through. The word ma in the beginning of the ayah is actually a refutation. Don't you ever think that it was anyone other than Allah that put you through what you're going through. It was always Allah. It is Allah's permission that allowed for what happened to you to happen to you. Good or bad, it was Allah's will directly. If you're not happy with Allah's will, which what we call ma sha Allah, whatever Allah wills. رَضِيْتُ بِاللَّهِ رَضِيْتُ بِمَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ, I am pleased with the will of Allah. Whatever Allah wills. Whether I'm suffering as a result of it, or whether I'm overjoyed as a result of it, I am pleased with the will of Allah. That is truly accepting that I am a slave of Allah, that He is my master. Allah says, there is not a single calamity that hits you, except that it's by Allah's permission. وَمَنْ يُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ. And throughout that calamity, whoever can maintain their faith. It's a conditional statement. You know why it's a conditional statement? Because when calamity hits is when people lose their faith. That's when you start questioning God. That's when you start questioning, why would Allah do this to me? If He loves me, and if He created me, and He wants to take care of me, what kind of a Rahman is this that is putting me through these things? When that happens, then you no longer have faith. Allah says, whoever can maintain their iman during calamity, يَهْدِ قَلْبَهُ, Allah will give him there's one gift. If you had this gift, you don't need anything else in life. Allah will give that gift to this person. يَهْدِ قَلْبَهُ, He will guide his heart. There is nothing more valuable in this world than Allah guaranteeing someone guidance. There's nothing more valuable. I don't know if I have guidance, you don't know if you have guidance. But Allah tells us this, you go through hardship, and you maintain and strengthen your faith in Allah, and Allah will give you the gift of real iman, real faith inside of your heart. It won't just be something you say on your tongue. يَهْدِي قَلْبَهُ He'll guide his heart, He'll guide his emotions, He'll guide his remembrance. Allah will become your guide in everything that you do. يَهْدِي قَلْبَهُ Allah didn't even say يَهْدِهِ He will guide him. He said يَهْدِي قَلْبَهُ He will guide his heart. Every beat will be full of guidance. Every beat that heart takes will be with the remembrance of Allah. It's such an amazing thing. It's such an amazing thing. Everything in this world on the one hand, and the guidance of Allah in the heart of the believer. يَهْدِي قَلْبَهُ And where does someone feel the pain of calamity and sadness? In their heart. Where do they feel that? In their heart. And Allah will remove it from their heart. My teacher used to tell us the story of this woman, this married couple, who had only one child, and they had a child late in life. And you know, on the day of his graduation, the child's graduating from high school, he had a motorcycle. On the way home, he got into an accident and died. 18-year-old kid, like in Pakistan somewhere, you know. It's a young kid, and he died. Just like that. And this kid is their life. It's their joy, it's their pride. And it's the day he graduated. The news comes that he's gone. And they just go into serious, serious depression. And then the father eventually comes to the wife after a few weeks, and he tells her, you know, Allah gave us a toy, and He let us play with it for 18 years. And it was His, it wasn't ours. And He took back what was His. And instead of being grateful that He had us enjoy our lives for 18 years, we're being like this. We should be grateful. This is real calamity and maintaining your faith. That's maintaining your faith. Because when calamity hits, you start feeling like, Allah owes me something. Like, Allah owes me health. Allah owes me my children. Allah owes me my wife. Allah owes me my happiness. Allah owes me my job. Allah owes you nothing. You owe Allah everything. I don't own these fingers. I don't own this face. I don't own a single tooth. I don't own them. These are Allah's gifts. And He can take them as He pleases. And when He does, it is a reminder that it's not yours. That it's not mine. When He takes anything. And when the people who don't really believe that Allah owns everything, they're the ones who lose their faith and say, it was mine, why did He take it? Why did He take it? This will enter your heart. When this faith enters your heart, then you will understand the ayat, Allah owns everything in the skies and the earth. It's so easy to say, right? So easy to say Allah owns everything in the skies and the earth. What does that mean practically for you and me? That means I own nothing. I don't even own myself. You know the thing we say to each other as I close? The thing we say to each other when we die? إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ We belong to Allah. To Him we are returned. If my entire being belongs to Allah, how is it that any part of me or any gift I have in life can belong to me? If I don't even own myself. This is the realization of iman. This surah, Surah At-Taghabun, is the surah of the fruits of iman. What is it? What are the things that a person internalizes when they really, really, really have iman in Allah, real faith in Allah? This is what this surah is about. And this is why this is one of my favorite ayat of this surah. وَمَنْ يُؤْمِن بِاللَّهِ يَهْدِي قَلْبَهُ I pray that Allah guides all of our hearts, and I conclude with the conclusion of the ayah, وَاللَّهُ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٍ And Allah fully knows everything that goes on. Allah knows what you're going through. It's not like He doesn't know. He's the one who created that situation. He's the one that's testing you with it. May Allah Azza wa Jalla give you strength through your difficult times, and may Allah give you the ability to maintain and strengthen your iman in the middle of those insanely difficult trials, so that you get the gift that nobody else in the world has like you do, and that is the gift of guidance into your hearts. Barakallahu li wa lakum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. فَقُلْتُ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا وَيُمْدِدْكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ وَبَنِينَ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ أَنْهَارًا رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي فالحمد لله
والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم. Quran Weekly, 29th Juz, and we are looking at Surah Nuh, the 71st Surah of the Quran. I chose to share with you today the 10th, 11th, and 12th ayat of the Surah, in which Nuh alayhi salam is actually telling Allah what he did with his nation, what he's already accomplished, and how things haven't been working out, things haven't changed for them. But Allah chose to mention this passage, and in it there's a beautiful gift. And that gift is, what do you get when you genuinely make istighfar, when you ask Allah to forgive? Obviously you're asking Allah to forgive. So what you should get in return is forgiveness. But there are actually additional benefits to asking Allah for forgiveness that are mentioned in the ayah. So the obvious gift of asking for forgiveness is the actual forgiveness itself. But it has some worldly benefits. Even in this world, you will start seeing the benefits of asking Allah to forgive you. So what are they? فَقُلْتُ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا. Then I said, seek forgiveness of your master. No doubt he is one that continually and repeatedly and extremely repeatedly forgives and forgives and forgives and forgives and forgives. يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا. If you do ask forgiveness from your master, then he will send rain upon you that will be full of life. Notice, rain came upon the people of Nuh. This is Nuh talking. Rain did come, but it was full of death. He says, you ask Allah to forgive, He will send rain that will be filled with life. You are living in a city that has a drought. What's one way to get the rain to come? Istighfar. You make istighfar, Allah will send rain from the sky. He says, وَيُمْدِدْكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ وَبَنِينَ. And He will extend your means when it comes to money and children. All kinds of monies and all kinds of children. You will live a good, wholesome, worldly life, full of all the blessings you can enjoy. What are the blessings? Rain from the sky, monies, kids. وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ. And He will put in place for you gardens. وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ أَنْهَارًا. And He will put in place for you all kinds of rivers. Our deen comes with worldly benefits packages too. Istighfar, genuinely asking Allah to forgive, and Allah will shower your life with worldly blessings while you are getting ready for the blessings of the Akhirah. What a beautiful religion. What a beautiful thing. You didn't have to ask for the rain. You didn't ask for children. You don't have to ask for children and money. You don't have to ask for gardens and rivers in this world. You don't have to ask for that. You genuinely have to ask Allah to forgive. He's so happy with you asking for forgiveness, He'll give you this stuff anyway. This stuff is nothing to Him. This is a big deal to you, it's nothing to Him. What's a big deal to Him is that you would ask Him for forgiveness. That's valuable to Him. There's a sense of perspective is given in these beautiful ayat of what is treasure to Allah and what is treasure to us. You know, قُلْتُ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا وَيُمْدِدْكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ وَبَنِينَ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ أَنْهَارًا. Allah is talking to what kind of people? A kind of people that are engrossed in sin, and they think if they obey Allah, and they ask Allah to forgive, obviously if you're asking Allah to forgive, you're not going to do crimes against Allah anymore. If we don't do crimes against Allah, how are we going to make our money? How are we going to get a good life? How are we going to enjoy our family life? Allah says, you don't have to think that obeying Allah means you won't enjoy your life anymore. You'll actually have a better life than you could have had, because when you were trying to make a good life for yourself, only you were on your side. But when you ask Allah for forgiveness, Allah is on your side. Allah will provide the furnishings. Allah will provide the resources. Allah will provide the children. SubhanAllah. May Allah truly make us a people of istighfar, and through it, not only clean, you know, make our dunya better, but of course, grant all of us His wonderful, wonderful forgiveness on Judgment Day. Barakallahu li wa lakum, wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wal 'asri innal insana lafi khusr. Illa alladhina amanu wa 'amilus salihati wa tawasaw bil haqqi wa tawasaw bis sabr. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ثم ما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم Quran Weekly. We've reached our 30th day, and I know this was pre-recorded, so I don't know if this 30th day is already going to be Eid or not, but regardless, I felt this last reminder should be my favorite surah of the Quran.
Surah Al-Asr. And interestingly enough, it is in the 30th Juz. So that's what we're doing today. And I think it's an appropriate conclusion to our series, because if nothing else, we realize how quickly time goes by. I think all of you that are listening to this probably already know what Surah Al-Asr means. That Allah swears by time that is squeezing away from us, that is running out, that is dripping away so quickly we can't catch it. How quickly did the last 30 days go? How fast did they go? You look back, it feels like a week. We just started Ramadan, it's gone already. You know? Wal asr. And we lost that opportunity? Inna al-insana lafi khusr. No doubt about it, the human being is immersed, drowned in a state of loss. That's the reality of every human being. And the biggest loss we have is time. What we just lost is the time of Ramadan. What we're just about to lose is, you know, this blessed month, this opportunity to be forgiven. So now that you've learned what loss is like as a believer, don't let another day go by in procrastination. If you know what Surah Al-Asr is, it's the summary of the entire Qur'an. And if it is the summary of the entire Qur'an, then there's one thing you got to get out of Surah Al-Asr, is respect for time. Fix your day. Go to sleep early. Wake up early. Pray Fajr on time. Pray with good attention. Don't waste your time. Don't be by yourself on your computer. Don't be up late at night, even if it's to watch Islamic videos. If you're a young man, try to get to the masjid for Isha. Try to get to the masjid for Fajr. If you can't do that, at least pray Isha and Fajr at home. Get other friends together and pray together. You know? Human beings are continually and forever in loss. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Except those who believe. You know, whether we like it or not, we're all marching towards death. All of us. There's not a day goes by that I don't get closer to death. That my wife doesn't get closer to death. That my children don't get closer to death. All of us are on a march towards our mortality, our end. Whether we like it or not. That loss is coming. One day has just been taken away from my life and I'll never get it back. One month has been taken away, I'll never get it back. I'm never going to get younger. It's not going to happen. I'm only going to get older. And the older I get, the closer I get to my final day on this earth. That is a fact. If you accept that fact, that all human beings are constantly losing their time, they're losing their opportunity. Because all we have in this world is time, right? Money, house, all of it, you're going to enjoy it in time, aren't you? If you don't have time, none of this matters. None of this matters. Somebody's told they're going to die in an hour, no wealth in the world matters. No food in the world, nothing matters now. Because all you have is an hour. So we have, if you've internalized this message of the Qur'an, that time is the biggest asset you have, and you better make good use of it in this world, then you will have new respect for every day, for every hour, for every evening. There's not going to be a loose attitude towards weekends. There's not going to be any chance you get just wasted away sitting watching a screen, you know, play some video game or things like that. You'll do productive things with your life. He says, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. The only people that are not going to lose out are people who believe. Who are the people who are going to end up in a life where there is no time restriction? Because if time is the biggest loss, who are the people who won't be losing out? People who believed. وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. And the people who believed, and as a result of their belief, they did the few good things Allah asked them to do. As-salihat, as I've mentioned in more detailed lectures, is just a handful of good deeds. It's not a lot. Allah is not asking for a lot. He's asking for a little. He's asking for a lot less from us throughout the year than He does in Ramadan. You're not going to do what you did in Ramadan the rest of the year. You wish you could, I wish I could, but we're not going to. And Allah is not asking us to either. He's asking a lot less. A lot less. So do it. As-salihat. وَتَوَاصَوْ بِالْحَقِّ. And they encourage each other, enjoin each other, counsel each other, advise each other, equally concerned. Tawasi actually means equal concern. Sawa would have been one dominating the other. Tawasa means we're both on equal footing. I know I'm not better than you, you know you're not better than me. We're looking out for each other. Find good company to keep your faith alive, to keep your value of time alive. Somebody to check on you, hey, you didn't come for Isha yesterday. Where were you? Everything okay? Hey, I haven't seen you for a couple of days. Where you been? I'm worried about you. You're not coming to class. I haven't seen you. That's tawasi bil haqq. Enjoining each other, reminding each other why you're on this earth. how you're supposed to have a good life in this world without ever forgetting your purpose. وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. And when these distractions come and these temptations come and these trials come in life, you gotta hold on to your faith, because sabr is not just over difficulty, sabr is also over temptations. Sabr is also over distractions. You gotta hold yourself back from indulging. You're gonna have to have that real self-discipline. If you don't have it, you're not gonna be able to survive this challenge. This is the beginning of our new life. All of us are confident today that Allah, because of our efforts in Ramadan and our sincere dua and the tears that we've shed, has given us a new start. We have to believe that. لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. And from here on out, we understand the value of time. And we're really going to make the most of our lives. That's what we're going to do. You're going to make a schedule. You're going to see when are you going to memorize Qur'an? When are you going to learn to recite better? How are you going to wake up for prayers and make sure you have time for prayers? If you're a college student, how are you going to register for courses that don't conflict with Jummah time? But you're able to find time for every single prayer without messing up. You know, how are you going to find the courage to tell your employer that I need a prayer break? Take care of Salat first. Salat is the ultimate reminder of the value of time. إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ كَانَتْ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ كِتَابًا مَوْقُوتًا. The Salat on the believer is a law that keeps his time. It's, if Asr is important to us, then Salat is important to us. You know? You have to keep track of that. You have to be on top of it. Those of you that are young, that are just in college or high school, and if you find yourself having a lot of free time, either fill it up with memorization of Qur'an or fill it up by getting a job. Do something with your time that's productive. Don't waste your time. It is free time that destroys most people's faith. There's nothing else. It's free time. It's that free time that goes into dating. It's that free time that goes into clubbing. It's that free time that goes into drugs. It's free time. If you're weak, don't give yourself free time. Keep yourself busy. And keep asking Allah for help. And I pray that Allah grants all of you good company, good judgment, wisdom, strength of character, that Allah helps you fight your temptations. Allah removes you from the people who are bringing you to sin, who are taking you into sin, and gives you company of people that make you better and better and better human beings. And eventually Allah makes you strong enough that other people come to Allah because of you. That's what you want to be. You want to be the people who do tawasi bil haq, who do tawasi bil sabr. May Allah Azza wa Jalla make us of them. And may Allah not make us of those who are in loss, rather make us of the exception. Barakallahu li wa lakum fi al-Qur'an al-Hakim, wa nafa'ni wa iyyakum bil ayati wa dhikr al-Hakim. Please make dua for myself and my family for putting this series together. I certainly benefit from studying Qur'an, and even talking about it is a reminder to myself. And I hope you benefited from this reminder. And the only thing I ask in exchange is that you guys make lots and lots and lots of sincere dua for your brother, and ask Allah to forgive my mistakes. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.